Revelation chapter 4 and the verse 6, where we read these words. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. The sea of crystal is what I want to consider with you tonight. Here is something unusual that John sees. He cannot dismiss it. He cannot overlook it. But he must draw our attention to it. He pens it down in Holy Scripture by the pen of inspiration. Therefore, the Holy Spirit wants us to consider it. If John's eyes see it, we must give heed to it. And so we read about the sea of crystal. By the sea of crystal, in glory saints stand. It is called here the sea of a sea of glass, like unto crystal. It is therefore still, it is clear, it is pure, it is fully transparent, so transparent as to be crystal clear. I see it as symbolic of two things. I see it as symbolic of the Son of God in our great work of redemption. He is the sea of crystal. I see it also, secondly, as symbolic of the glories of heaven. This sea of crystal is reflecting something to our mind of the glories of the redeemed in heaven. So those are our two heads, a symbol of the Son of God and a symbol of the glory of heaven. First of all, then, I think we have to see here the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here Messiah in the sea of crystal. He is as a sea of crystal for our redemption. You will notice that it is described as being before the throne of God. The word is different. It is no longer around the throne of God. That occurs frequently in this chapter. We read of things that are around the throne of God, but we only read of two things that are before the throne of God. The sea of crystal is one of them. This is different. This is before the throne. There's a distinction. This before suggests close, very close proximity. This word before suggests in the very presence of the throne, in front of the throne, and therefore very important. As one approaches the throne, you approach the throne from the front, but you don't approach the throne before you come to the sea of glass. It's before the throne. It's a very important place, especially for us sinners who want to approach God. The other thing that stands before the throne, the word before is used again. At the end of verse 5, there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. Not around the throne. Before the throne, on the approach to the throne, standing in the same place as the sea of glass, before the throne. Both stand related to one another. The seven burning lamps, which are the seven spirits of God, and the sea of glass, which reminds us of the Son of God. Both stand related. As we approach God, we need the light of God through the Holy Spirit. He is represented in the seven lamps, in all his shining, illuminating glory, illuminating the way before the throne for sinners to approach. We cannot approach the throne without the light of the Holy Ghost. Grace must cover every step of approach to God. And there's plenty of light for sinners in the Holy Ghost's illumination. The seven lamps burning brightly before the throne. If we would come to God then, if we would come before Him, this is the path. This is the only path of approach to God. We come unto Him through Christ in the Spirit. And so we need the sea of glass. And we need the illuminating grace of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit illuminates Christ. We need the light of the world, and we need the water of life. We need the lamps, and we need the sea, if we are to approach the throne. And praise the Lord, these are before the throne for us sinners approaching. Both stand related, the Spirit and the Son of God in the work of redemption. We have the Trinity here in our approach to God. We go to the throne, to the Father, through Christ and in and by the Spirit. Isn't that what Paul said? We have access unto God through Christ in the Spirit. So the water and the light before the throne. The imagery must surely come from the tabernacle and the temple. You will know that there were seven candlesticks that were supplied for the light of the priests in the sanctuary, so that they could approach unto the Holy One. The seven lamps continually and endlessly supplied by the oil, picturing and portraying Messiah, the light of the world, anointed with all the fullness of the Holy Spirit for us sinners to approach God. So Christ, the light of the world, is pictured, the Messiah anointed by the Holy Ghost. But there was not only the seven lampstands, there was also the laver. The sea provided for the cleansing and the purification of the priests. The image is drawn from the temple. But now we're in the heavenly sanctuary above. The bronze laver is called in the Bible the sea. You'll remember whenever Solomon made that laver, it says he made a molten sea. The laver itself was made of metal, it was made of bronze, and it was called the sea. The sea. It was a sea of bronze, but this is a sea of glass. A sea of glass. So clear, so transparent, it's as crystal. It's as clear as that. You couldn't see through the bronze laver to see the contents in, but looking through this sea, you see through the right other side of it, right to the throne. Solomon's laver of sea stood on 12 oxen. Three were pointing in all the different directions of the compass. Their back parts were inward. And the sea, that's what it's called, the sea was set above them. So it's raised up. And there the priests would wash themselves and cleanse themselves as they prepared to minister in the sanctuary, in the holy place. And that cleansing was needful for them. And those purifications were essential for them. And that sea stood there as a continual reminder of the cleansing that was needed in approach to God. This sea, of course, that was in the temple and in the tabernacle and symbolized in the heavenly sanctuary above, this sea pointed back to the Great Sea that Israel passed through in order to become the people of God on the way to the land of promise. It pictured the Red Sea, to be God's people on the journey to glory. All had to pass through the Red Sea, the sea. Paul called that sea the baptism unto Moses. It was Israel's baptism and to approach God. We must be baptized unto Christ, and we have to pass through him. There's no other way. The Sea of Crystal preaches and pictures the same thing as baptism. It pictures the cleansing blood. It pictures the necessity of union with him. For through him, and through him alone, and in him alone, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So the Trinity is in the text in Revelation chapter 4. The Father on the throne, the Spirit of God illuminating the path for sinners, showing the way, and Christ, the sea of glass that we pass through in our approach to God. Christ is before the throne. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are but the figures of the true, but he's entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God, before God, for us. And here he is. Here he is. He is pure as crystal. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, in the presence of God, the propitiation for our sins, the purifier of the sons of Levi. This is him. He is the forerunner who is entered into the holy place, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, and therefore a sea of crystal glass, raised up and lifted up for us. He cleanses, he justifies us, and we are reminded here of our justification and our cleansing and our washing. We're reminded here of our baptism. We're reminded here of our being washed in the blood of Christ before the throne of God above, the hymn writer says. I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written in his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. I see the sea of glass into which all my sins have gone. This is the sea of God's forgetfulness, you know, into which he casts all the sins of his people, and that sea is still clear crystal, still a sea of glass, still as pure crystal, even with all the sins of his people having gone into it. That's our justification. Because this sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. And so this sea of crystal isn't only for us to look upon and be comforted, but it is for God the Father to look upon as well. The sea of his forgetfulness. The sea is described in Revelation chapter 15. You get this frequently throughout the book of the Revelation. Repetition and reiteration. We meet this sea again in the 15th chapter. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. It's the same sea. This time it is mingled somewhat with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, they had the great victory. Why did they have the great victory? Why were they overcomers? Why does John even say, I saw a sea of glass? They're standing on the sea of glass, these overcomers. Standing on the sea of glass as crystal. There they stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses. All the while the sea of glass is under their feet. They're standing on it because they're standing on Christ. Their feet are resting in this holy justification in Jesus Christ. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, and their feet are grounded in the one foundation. They stand on it. Their feet are planted on Christ. Justification through him alone is their only hope. They trust in that, and that gives them the victory. Standing on the sea of glass. Are you standing on the sea of glass today? Do you feel your feet firmly planted on Christ? It puts a song in their mouth. And standing on the sea of glass, they sing. Oh, there's nothing puts a song in your mouth whenever you see the sea of glass and your feet are standing on it. Oh, they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Yes, the song of Moses, because they passed through the Red Sea. And the song of the Lamb, because it's the blood of the Lamb that washes them. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. True and just are thy ways, thou King of saints. Powerful portion, Revelation chapter 15. And so when we think and reflect upon this sea of glass as crystal, we must pause and reflect on our sweet Saviour and on the sweet waters of his sin-removing grace. Ah, this comforts us as we approach God. I saw a sea of glass. Secondly, we must also see something else in this sea of glass. It's the only sea in heaven, you know, because the Bible says there's no more sea. But this sea, is there? This sea pictures something of the glories of heaven, reflected in the sea of crystal. The Bible often tells us what glory is like, not by asserting positive things about it, but usually by telling us about things that are not there. The glories of heaven really can't be described. And this sea helps us to see the glories of heaven by reminding us of the things that are not there. It reminds us of what is not in heaven. Because you see, this sea is not like anything on earth. It's a sea of glass, it's a sea of crystal. You can't find that on earth. The glorious sea is not on earth, only in heaven. No matter how clear some seas appear to be, they're nothing like this. And so by contrasting the sea of glass with the seas on earth, we see something of the nature of heaven. And so under the second head, I have 4 points. First of all, there is no dirt in heaven. This sea of crystal keeps out all dirt. This sea of crystal as a sanctifying, separating sea of God ensures that nothing that defiles ever enters in. Oh yes, there are men who were defiled once who enter in. But they enter in through the sea of glass, through Christ. And they enter in as men who will never defile anybody. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither anyone who works abomination or who makes lies. This sea of glass ensures there's no makers of lies in heaven. And there are no workers of abominable practices in heaven. And there are no defilers of men, either by their mouths or by their deeds. No. These waters of separation ensure that. All must pass through Christ and be purified. All must be baptized into him. And being baptized into him are purified and sanctified. And so heaven then is a clean and pure place. And that's reflected in these waters. The crystal purity is spoken of in the text. Unless you have any doubt that crystal has a reference to the transparency and purity, the apostle brings it up again later on in the book. And he tells us, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. It's a pure river, you see, of water of life, clear as crystal. Crystal is connected with purity. This is the purest water you've ever seen. It could be miles and miles thick and you can look through it. It's as crystal as that. And that's how pure heaven is. And that's how pure the Son of God is. And that's how pure he will make us sinners through his grace. There's no dirt then in heaven. And you know something else? This sea of crystal teaches me there's no darkness in heaven. No darkness. What light surrounds this sea of crystal? There is, first of all, the light from the throne, the light of the glory of God, reflecting through it. And then there are the 7 lamps surrounding it before the throne also, the Spirit of God. The illuminations of the Holy Spirit flowing through it, illuminating it. There's radiance here. There's refraction and reflection. It's like a mirror. The light of the Spirit and the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All focusing on, all as it were, bringing their rays to point on Christ. And we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and there's no darkness in heaven. This sea of crystal tells us that. He knows it's a sea of crystal because of the marvels of the light flowing through it and surrounding it. No dullness, not even a speck of darkness. How dark seas on earth are. Light only skims the surface. Though there's no light as bright enough to get away down to the depths of the ocean. Seas of this world aren't crystal, that's for sure. You only have to go down a few feet or a few meters and it's dark and murky. But not these waters. No darkness, no murkiness, no dullness. Clear, crystal, transparent. How the light must travel through it and radiate from it and be reflected by it. Christ is the light of heaven. He is, as it were, the prism of glory. We behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the very essence of his glory. Heaven is a place of revelation, a place of seeing, a place of revealing. The sea tells me that. Now we see through a glass darkly. Yes. We look into the laver of the Holy Word of God. It's not like the sea of crystal. It's a glass darkly. Oh, we just get rays of Christ in shadows and in pictures and in words. But to be there, to see him face to face. The city has no need of the sun even. It has no need of the moon to shine in it, because the Lamb is the light thereof. And heaven has the glory of God, the Bible tells us. And there's no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. The sea of crystal illuminated up the great lamp of glory. It's Christ. No darkness. To tell you something else the sea assures us of. There are no doubts. No doubts in heaven. Here our faith must ride on troubled seas. Here we, like Peter, walk on the sea and sink in its waves and its trouble, and our faith decreases and deflates at times, and we battle with doubts in our troubles and we sink. But there they stand on the crystal. Oh, they walk these waters in glory. There's no doubts. They're walking on the sea of glass. They're standing on the sea of glass. What Peter couldn't do in the Sea of Galilee. We can't do that here, you see. We have doubts all the time. The sea of life is so rough, so troublesome. It's like the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And we're tested and we're tried. And we sometimes sink and we sometimes swim and we sometimes feel we're drowning. And we very rarely feel we're standing at all. We battle with doubts all the time. There's no troublesome things coming around out of the sea of glass. You remember how James described the doubter in his epistle in the first chapter? That he that doubteth, he is up and down and asking God and hardly believes that he can get it. He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed about with the wind. That's the way it is. On the seas of this earth, the trouble, the tempest, the storm, the trials. Peter wants to walk on the sea, and we all want to do that. But it is never a sea of glass. That sea is in glory. Then faith gives way to sight. And sight has no conflict with doubts. Faith goes up and down, but not sight. When once we catch a glimpse of the sea of crystal, No more questioning God. No more questioning our hearts. No more giving diligence to make our calling and election sure. No more doubting God's ways. No more hesitancy about God's will and what he wants us to do. No more fiery darts of satanic attacks upon our faith and the fiery arrows of doubt. No more of that. The sea of glass is so still. I must stand on it. I must never sink. But just always sing. Always sing. And we have our harps. And we don't have to cast them away, hanging them up again on the willow trees, because the troubled waters have risen up and we're drowning and we feel we have to swim and we have to get rid of our harps. No, no. Holding on to our harps all the time now. Having a song all the time now as we stand on the sea of glass. No doubts. That's what I learned from this sea of glass. No doubts. It also teaches us that there are no disturbances in heaven. Always a sea of glass. Always crystal clear. No agitation. No stirring up of the disturbance of the water molecules so that you can't see through them in the waves. There's none of that. No disturbance in heaven. Perfect tranquility, perfect peace. In heaven, the sea is not troubled. There is no chaos. You know, in the Bible, the sea is a picture of chaos. That chaos can take many forms. The Bible has a lot to say, actually, about the chaotic sea and the troubled waters. In the Bible, the troublesome tumult of the people is pictured by the roaring sea. Didn't we face that on Saturday night in the roar out of the pub? It was just the tumult of the people. It was just the roaring sea. That's all it was. The Bible says their voice roareth like the sea. It roareth like the sea. But brothers and sisters, there's none of that in heaven. Nobody will come out and chase us in heaven. None of the wicked there will drive us away. Just stillness. And the people of God can stand on the waters and sing night and day. No disturbance. No tumult, only singing. No rebellion, only submission. No blasphemy, only worship. Doesn't Jude describe apostates in terms of the sea? Do you remember how he said, describing them, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame? Don't we have a lot of that today? The gay lesbian community, the raging of the waves, foaming out their shame. There's no foam in heaven. There's no raging waves of the immoral in glory. Just a sea of glass. Sovereign God overseeing it. Like the day Jesus stilled the waves and there was a great stillness. That's what it's like all the time as Jesus stands before the Father. We read of another sea in the book of the Revelation. John later on says, I stood upon the sand of the sea. That's a different sea. There's no sand in this sea of crystal. It's not like the beach. But he says, I stood on the sand of the sea. He's talking about the Mediterranean. I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up. It's rising up out of the sea. It's a monster. It has 7 heads and 10 horns rising up out of that sea. Upon his head's the name of blasphemy. You see, the seas on the earth, that's where the bad people hide. That's where the great monster of the deep lurks, Leviathan. That's where the serpent comes from. And there's a disturbance of the waters. And there's a rising up of the beast. The devil does all of that, you know. But you see, in this sea of glass and glory, there's no lurking monster in its steps. No. Because that old serpent's been cast out. Apollyon has been, as it were, exiled from the place. And so the great dragon has his domain in the seas of the earth. But not up there. No disturbance. Peace. Perfect peace. Oh, when you get to heaven, there's no raging of Satan against us, sir. There's no monster lurking in its depths. No enemies to roar against us out of the murky waters. Not even any sins. Not even any sins to raise up and trouble us. It's a sea of crystal. No sins can be found in it. They've gone. Fully gone in the mystery of grace and in the grand work of the atonement. Gone for good and gone forever. No divine judgment to consume us. The sea and earth is a picture of the divine judgment. Didn't he destroy the world with a great sea? But in heaven, peace has been made through the blood of his cross. No judgment. No sorrows to drown us. No waves to overrun us. No fears to make us sink. What a place heaven is. And I think this sea of crystal must cause us to reflect how wonderful it must be to be there. And so we think of Christ and we think of the glory standing by the sea of crystal.